The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I am your host, Christopher Hart. You know, it's amazing, a couple things. So I'm sure anyone who sees this title, and this is how annoying the internet is, the title of the show is clearly, how to become a whiskey expert. It's clearly a bit of a joke, but you have to get to the intro of the show to hear that. So a good friend of mine and a good person because he donated to the Barry on Deck Streamathon, Barry Laminack, is joining me on the show today because on the last episode, he basically said that tasting notes were bullshit, which is sacrilege. Our producer Jack doesn't even drink, and he knows that's not true. So Barry has been invited back on the show today, and I'm going to put Barry through the ringer of really fun, bizarre things to put into your mouth. And I realize the wording on that probably could use some work, but let's just say that I am going to prove without a doubt through walking Barry Laminack through tasting things that tasting notes are not bullshit. I'm going to make Barry an expert. There is a lot of bullshit in this industry, the wine industry, the food industry. There's a lot of bullshit, a lot of snobbery. And the idea of being the whiskey guy in your realm is actually quite not that hard to achieve. It's pretty simple. So anyone can do it. You don't need extensive years of training. You should be educated, of course, on what whiskey is and how whiskey is made and those things to be what I would consider a subject matter expert. But tasting whiskey is the easiest thing, and it's the most fun. So this week, Barry's joining me. This is going to be a two-part series where I put him through some fun stuff like Brookladdy Octomore. This beast of a product is so intense. There's no way he's going to say, oh, I don't taste anything, which is why I'm excited to also give him some absinthe. So we are going to have fun today. All right. Let's jump to paying the bills real quick, guys. A couple things right off the bat. Obviously, the baby goat has been released. It's in the market. You can get it. It's in Texas across the state, but it's also going to be in Florida, Louisiana, and California in the next month. In the next month, it'll be there. So for all of you listening out there, you'll see it. What else? Let's see here. If you're familiar with the concept of terroir and wine, my great friends over at Glass Rev and Waterford Single Malt Irish Whiskey, you'll appreciate Mark Rainier's Waterford Single Malt Whiskey from Ireland. Mark is combining his Scotch whiskey and fine wine talents to produce an authentic series of Irish single malt whiskeys based on traditional wine industry principles. Single farm origins, so much information on the bottle, on the box, that there's still not enough room that they have to have put on a website. Like literally Waterford's doing everything. And we're going to include Waterford in our training of Barry today because there is a biscuity dinner roll quality that I really like in a lot of Irish whiskey that I think once we can get Barry used to the extreme flavors that he can start working on toning in his experience. And Waterford's a great product for that. So I'm excited to dive deep with someone that I care about, someone that has. We're gonna give you an update on what happened with the Streamathon. Barry's goal was $10,000. We're gonna check in and see how that went and go from there. So without further ado, cheers. Barry, thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
We have the last time we saw you, you had your goal was to raise $10,000 for the Barry on Deck Streamathon.
Correct.
And give the people an update. What happened?
Yeah, thanks to you being a good person, and thanks to the people.
You see that, guys? I am a good person.
Ooh, your knee's blocking it.
I'm telling you that. There you go. I'm bad at TV.
Thanks to you and the folks that bid, and we raised $14,203
in a couple hours,
including the $3. Can't not include the $3.
You got
somebody gave up $3, and that's important.
I like to think that someone, three people gave up $1.
That might have been it. Yeah. In a couple hours.
That's awesome, man.
Dude, so thank you for the help.
Above and beyond. And again, I'm telling you, I think you need to make this an actual, every year there's the Barry on Deck Streamathon merch shirt. You can give the proceeds to charity too.
That's true.
So then they're kind of they're motivated to buy the merch as well.
I like it.
I mean, or don't keep the money. keep the money. I mean, it's whatever.
I'm charitable.
You deserve it. You're a good person. So you last time you were on, you how fucking dare you said that tasting notes are bullshit.
Yeah.
So yeah. I offered you a chance to become a whiskey expert.
And
so,
do you know how many people are jealous that you are going to teach me how to be a whiskey expert?
What a waste of talent, right? Like, what am I doing? Got nothing else to do.
People are jealous. I'm just telling you.
So I'm going to the next two episodes, this week's episode, next week's episode, are titled how to Become a Whiskey Expert.
Oh, and that's going to be like teaching an idiot.
Sure.
How to become.
Becoming a whiskey expert for dummies.
Okay.
Sure.
Idiots.
We got time to play around with the name.
Okay.
So I think that there is a lot of snobbery and bullshit in whiskey. There's a lot of snobbery with food and
wine,
cigars. And beer, especially in beer, like the increased.
Oh, yeah.
I think you got a couple of beer nerds on your. Okay, let me talk shit to them for a minute.
Do.
So the beer community, I think they've gotten better about it, but for a long time they were super riled up as to what type of glass you use. Depending on the beer,
mm-hmm.
A stout is in this glass, an IPA is in this glass because of the way the glass was created to funnel the thing in the thing. Shut up.
See, I don't
listen.
Believe any of that.
Well, a lot of it is indoctrinated bullshit. Like they don't realize what they're saying is bullshit. They believe what they're told. Sure, you can have like there are white wine glasses and there are red wine glasses, but
see, that's so
you can weird. Drink white wine and. All of us have drinking out of a red solo cup.
I would drink red wine out of a Yeti. Like, I don't care.
Does it
matter? Does it really? Okay, so my question is this. Like you're saying about the beers.
Ooh, great question. Actually, to
does
boil it,
it
down.
Does it really matter to most people? To you,
okay.
An expert palate, a guy who can taste old
books. Do it
books,
for a living, yeah.
A taste, I remember from the last episode, you're like, it tastes like old books. I was like, what? I've never eaten an old book. How do you know that's what it tastes like? Okay, so, but you have an expert palate. I have a moronic palate.
I have a professional palate. Expert gets kind of laughed at a lot.
Does it?
Okay. Because there's so much cynicism in the hobby. But let's gotcha. I agree with what you're saying. So,
yeah, okay.
So does it make a difference?
To guys like me, when I'm drinking a beer or a glass of wine or a glass of whiskey, I don't think it's going to matter that much.
Yeah, so the question, does it make a difference? Does the type of glass you have make a difference to the beer? Possibly, sure. And at least initially, especially with Century, like the smell, the first experience of it, sure. Does it really matter? Because once you start drinking it, that's it. You're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't ultimately matter. So it's not a real... There are material differences in life, and there are unmaterial differences in real life. If it's immaterial, meaning I said unmaterial like an idiot. If it's immaterial, then it's we're just being snobs just to feel yeah. different. So that is not the case for tasting notes.
Okay,
I'm going to put some things in front of your mouth or in and around your mouth.
Wow,
and
wait,
what is this?
Is this a casting couch video?
You're already unbuttoned, and I'm already unzipped, so let's do this. You ready?
Let's go. Put some things in my mouth.
So this is – I've been trying to think of what's the best way to approach this with Barry, and I think the approach is this. I think I need to show you things at a high volume, meaning audibly. Like, this is a very loud, like, you, it's undeniable. You're going to taste the what? Thing I want you to taste, and you're going to not deny it.
Okay.
And then as you get into spirits more and more, and you start tasting things that are a bit more subtle and not as loud, then that's where you're going to become the expert, is like really fine tuning. The biggest thing is you're going to taste something that reminds you of something in your life. Okay. And once you start identifying an initial tasting note, you'll be able to identify that, because you're tying it to a memory. You're tying it to, you know, that the whole book thing was like, I remember growing up and going to the library, reading old books, the smell of the paper, the smell of an old library. We all know what that smell is. So when I taste it or smell it in old dusty bourbon, I immediately think of that memory. So it's about tying those things together.
So it's not, is it, okay, so, and this may sound like a stupid question, and everyone shut up in the comments and listening. But is it about trying to perfect or like hit the nail on the head when it comes to the note, or is it different for you and me? Like, you, is it, so what you said about the memory makes sense, but wouldn't that mean that every person might get a different note because of that?
So their memory, or what they're picking up on, might differ from your memory, but it's the same thing. It's just about identifying it for you.
Gotcha.
So I'll give you a great example.
You may say old books, and I might say, oh, it reminds me of my grandma's house.
Sure.
The old dusty.
Sure.
Okay.
Exactly. It really comes down to your experience and just being able to recognize it.
All right.
I'll give you a great example. Guava is not a huge American thing. We don't eat a lot of guava. We don't really recognize a lot of guava. And in some spirits, Hispanic tasters, like, for instance, our head distiller over at Gulf Coast Distillers is from Colombia. And Julian Giraldo, but I think it's like Julian Giraldo. Like, I'm not really, I hate to force the accent.
Right, know? Right.
But Julian has, there's in some petite champagne cognacs, there's a, what I recognize as pool water.
Okay.
You remember in high school, you'd walk into the mm-hmm. indoor pool and you could smell it in the air, mm-hmm. kind of bleachy, kind mm-hmm. of aqua, you know. I recognize the guava as that, whereas he identifies it as guava. So it's a weird thing that not everyone – it just depends on what you identify it as. And that's all that matters, is you just being able to recognize what you're experiencing in your own way.
I'm really nervous.
Okay. Why?
Because I'm worried that you're going to be like, all right, this is a no-brainer. This tastes like, you know, leather-bound books.
Sure.
And I'm going to – like, I don't – I'm not getting anything. I'm worried about that.
Do we have any water?
There's some outside.
Okay, let me I'm going to go grab it's important because there's one thing there's two things I'm going to taste you on first, cuz remember I'm going to go loud first.
Yeah.
Loud can also affect your palate and what you taste next. So, don't be nervous. And it's okay if you don't get it at first, but there's two things in particular that I'm going to lead you with that there's no way you're not going to see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The thing that you're going to have to do, though, is you're going to have to rinse your mouth out intensely a few times to get those flavors out of your mouth
after
you taste them.
Okay.
And I know people are like, just hurry up. I want to see him taste it. Before we get into it, leave it in your mouth as long as possible until your mouth can adjust. There is this really dumb, stupid thing that's been argued about for a long time called a lot of people believe that when you open a whiskey that it begins to oxidize and it changes. Oh, let it breathe for 20 minutes. And I came back to it. When I opened, I didn't like it. When I came back to it 2 weeks later, it had changed. It doesn't change.
Okay.
No, that's stupid. It's literally like trying to explain to my kids at Christmas, we wanted to get a picture of Santa in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an app called Catch Santa where you can take a photo of your living room and then put like these set pictures of Santa in it, but it looks fake.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who's 5, goes, he looks like a paper Santa. Like, she could recognize that something was off about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got down this rabbit hole. My point that I'm trying to make is that it's going to take some time for your mouth and your body to adjust to it, but it's you adjusting, not the liquid adjusting.
Gotcha.
So let's jump into it.
Okay.
Don't look.
Okay.
I should have said that before I pulled out.
Yeah.
Okay. So close. Okay. Turn your head. Camera. Turn your head real quick.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a very particular spirit that has a very particular taste, and I'm just gonna let you put it in your mouth.
Please stop saying that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Ah, don't feel so violated.
Don't look at it.
Okay.
Just taste it. Kind of swish it around. Leave it in there for a bit.
Okay.
Okay.
I need a blindfold. Like,
just yeah.
What's that movie where she's the Bird Box? What was it called?
Bird Box. It literally was Bird Box.
Is it? Yeah. Where she couldn't see.
Yeah, anything? Yeah. Because okay. of the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I'm
spoiler alert. Yeah. So smell it.
They all die. Oh, black licorice.
Okay. Boom. In your face. You got there.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So it's made with anise or anise. I hate anise because it's too close to anus. Oh,
are you feeding me butt water?
Okay. So that is absinthe.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I allowed to open my eyes now?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You guessed already. Yeah. So go ahead and put it in your mouth. It that is made with a bunch of different herbaceous things, but the most predominant one that's screaming at you in your face.
Licorice.
It's licorice. Yeah. So you can go ahead and this will be our dump glass. Actually, you know what? Let's use.
Nailed it. Pretty much an expert now, guys.
All right. There's your dump glass. Go ahead and rinse the glass out. Rinse your mouth out.
Okay.
Drink lots of water. Get it all up in there. All right. Moving on. You know what? Let's do this. Don't look.
I'm not looking.
This is a little bit more. Nah, you know what? We'll do this one first. Okay. For those at home.
I thought we were doing these.
We're doing everything. We're going to do it all.
All right.
Two part series.
Anything goes. This is.
All right. Here, give me your. Give me your licorice glass. I'm gonna take the licorice glass. Oh, I could smell it. It's literally emanating out of the glass from here.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
The licorice?
Yeah, it's Good and Plenty's. It's my favorite candy.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah.
Apparently it's a natural laxative. If you eat a box, you'll poop. But
really?
This smells fantastic.
Just take a laxative. But
boy, this is so intense.
Potent, yeah.
So.
It is.
This is peated whiskey. It's Octomore.
What does that mean?
It's called Brook Laddie. So one of the most interesting aspects of Scotch is it really does take that glass. Took several hundred years to exist. Wow. What I mean is the way that, and I've described this on the show, there are peat bogs. There's peat bogs in Scotland. And what they would do is as grass and animals and things would die, they would start to decompose and become part of the earth. But more grass would come up before they'd fully decompose. And then you would slowly but surely develop these landlocked pieces, like these big open fields that are really made of peat. Okay. So it's what they do is they cut into the earth with this L-shaped cutter, and they pull out these mud bricks of peat, and they let it dry. It takes about 6 months, and then it becomes basically firewood. It's made from partially decomposed matter. I think for every inch, it's 100 years. Every foot, I think, is 1,000 years.
Really?
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Every
they
foot
go down?
Every foot of earth you go down is 1,000 years of partially decomposed matter. Wow. So
it does have a
it's been a while. I could be wrong. It could be 100 years, but I feel like it's 1,000.
And I know this is probably just because you told me it was peat and talking earth and stuff, but it does have a grassy.
Yep. Right. So peat is very controversial. Here's the thing,
outdoor,
though.
Yeah. I don't know.
The great thing about Scotch is the smells that you smell aren't actually in the glass, meaning there's no dead animals in there. There's no, like, if you smell, I smell bubblegum. There's no bubblegum in our rye whiskey.
Right.
It smells like bubblegum. So if you smell something that's off-putting, this reminds me of rubber shoes and burnt tires. Well, those aren't actually in the glass. So you can experience it without being disgusted, knowing that you're not actually eating a rubber tire. And this is often referred to that. So the Octomore is one of the most heavily peated scotches out there. It's got a slight sweetness to it, very briny, kind of smells like an old bay, you know, out on a dock. Sea salt, brine. Tons of earthiness, extremely, like, very medicinal, like iodine. Tastes like, as Alan Denny says, it tastes like a hospital floor, knowing that there's no hospital floor in there.
Oh, wow.
But it's so intense and so loud.
What is that?
You can't not recognize it.
Yeah, it's a weird...
It reminds me of old medicine. You remember before they started flavoring medicines for children, you had...
So the longer I sit here, you're... Yeah.
It's got like this...
Back, the aftertaste of medicine. Not the medicine, but
like old cough drops before they started flavoring them with lemon and honey.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Oh, what's that? I would have never Chloroseptic.
Thought. Yes! That was what there I was trying to think of. That's exactly what it tastes like. Chloroseptic. Nailed it.
So that has a very chloroseptic quality to it. After you spray the back of your throat and you can taste it?
Yes. That's... See, you're way better at this. Because I was like, it's medicinal, but I don't know what it is. But that's exactly what it is. That's crazy. Okay.
Now try getting it out of my glass.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
it's really about tapping into memories. Because, like, as soon as you said chloroseptic, I was like, that's exactly what this is. But my mind, I'm like, okay, don't say anything medicinal because you don't want him to... Yeah, I don't want you thinking, oh, well, just because you said that, I'm pretending to.
Sure.
So I was trying to get very specific with it.
Yeah, I don't want to lead you, but it's easy once you figure out how to. It's basically walking through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through the woods all the time. You don't really know where you're going. I'm hoping to create a path so that next time you're drinking whiskey or walking through the whiskey woods, you know how to approach it to so that you're not just like, oh, I don't really get anything you're talking about. No, it's there. You just have to. See what you're looking at.
This is interesting, man.
So this is another one. This is not whiskey.
I'm not looking.
Sherry is a protected term. This brand called Chansa was actually grandfathered in. If I'm trying to remember the name. The House of Chansa, founded in 1988, is producing a sherry made in the classic Solera method. So... Sherry, this is the oldest sherry producer in the state, in the U.S., and they were actually grandfathered in. So, for instance, in 2005, there became a protected term called Madeira, meaning it has to come from Madeira, Spain, to be called Madeira. Otherwise, you call it fortified wine or whatever. But anyone making Madeira before that gets grandfathered in, and Houston's actually the beneficiary of that. Hack Winery makes a Madeira. But they were making it long before it became a protected term, so they got grandfathered in. Are we following along?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like
cognac.
If we were making cognac or tequila before those became protected terms, they would get grandfathered in. So,
I didn't realize tequila was a protected term.
Tequila's big time. Yeah, it has to come from I think a few states in Mexico to be called tequila. I'm not a tequila expert. I actually like it in a margarita, but I don't care to drink it neat. I prefer mezcal or sotol.
Okay.
So. This is Chansa Cream Sherry, made here in Texas. And, in my opinion...
Oh, that looks...
Ooh. All right, here we go. So, first episode is us identifying the in-your-face flavors.
Okay.
Second episode is going to be us trying to hit new, more subtle, nuanced flavors.
Gotcha.
So, this is Chansa Sherry, fortified wine...
Oh, vinegar. Oh, now I smell something kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm. I'm letting you do the talking here.
Initially, it was kind of a vinegary, soury, which is probably just the wine.
Yeah,
but
so
now I smell sweet.
Put it in your mouth.
Please stop. As he complies.
Kind of a sweet, bitter, raisins.
Yes.
You promise you're not just...
I swear to you on my dead grandmother's
grave. You're not just going along with this?
No. As soon as you said raisins, I was like, oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, old grapes. But
raisins.
Raisins.
So the smell of it was kind of...
And something like this would be so good with like some bread pudding or, you know, stuff with, you know, after dinner desserts, candied pecans, something sweet and, you know... Yeah, savory.
No, it's definitely raisins.
This is absolutely
100%
one of my favorite sherries produced.
100.
We do a New York sour variation where we add, you know, it's just a New York sour is just whiskey and lemon, some simple syrup, and we add a topper of this on top, and it's like this little sweet dessert after you know, before dinner.
That's really good.
It's good. It's and it's what do they call it?
Weird because it smells different than it tastes. Like you were just saying, almost
a digestif, where you're supposed to after dinner. This is what you would drink to kind of settle your stomach.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like a little dessert drink.
That's good.
Hmm. Yeah, and for those, you can ask your local liquor stores to bring it in, but it really is. They're about $17. Pretty cheap, $17 for a Texas sherry.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's weird because I can't figure it out until you say it. And then when you say it, I'm like, yeah, that's it.
All right, I got
it. But I just, you know.
I got the next one. I won't say a fucking word.
Oh, see, it's going to take. How much time do we have? It's going to take me forever. Right? It's a lot of pressure.
I won't say anything descriptive.
That's a lot of pressure.
But I think you'll be able to get this one. Okay. And I actually haven't opened it, and I'm excited to open it.
Oh, shit.
So don't...
Shoot. Mark that.
Don't... If anyone can see this. There we go. This is a 50...
You know there are people listening or watching?
Oh, yeah,
They're just losing their mind right now. Again, I say, shut up!
All
right.
Barry will get there, guys. We all have our journey.
Yeah.
All right, I think this is already open. There we go. All right. I haven't actually tasted this yet, and I'm excited to taste it because I just got it. Do you know what it is? Do you have a guess?
I have a guess.
Okay.
Is this what they call, this is before they make bourbon?
Okay. Like a white dog white or a dog. Moonshine?
I didn't know if it was, if that was the right term, but I was thinking white dog.
It's not a white dog or moonshine.
Okay.
It is unaged spirit.
It's water. I'm getting notes of Ozarka. I'm just kidding. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is intense.
Now, that was a very old, dusty smell. I wouldn't say an old book. Oh, now that's gone. But it was an old smell.
I'm so excited right now. Try not to talk. So, what did I say? Okay, so this is a company called Cinco Sentidos. Means five senses.
Okay.
It's an unaged distillate at 51.03% alcohol. It's an Espadín product of Mexico. Now, it says Distillado de Agave, but this is essentially mezcal. It's got kind of a mineral, smoky mineral note, like a... Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say anything. Sorry.
No.
I immediately fucked that up. Like, I literally just said I wasn't going to do that, and then I did it immediately.
Well, that's your instinct is to, like, okay, what am I smelling and tasting here?
This is just so in your face. It's a lot.
The aftertaste is different than the initial, too.
Okay, start pulling things out. What are you smelling?
I mean, I kind of... So smelling just something old, but I don't know.
Man, I'm gonna have to talk. I'm feeling the urge.
I don't know what that is. It's very distinct, though.
All right, so one of the I use this term a lot, and I love it. There's a term called petrichor.
Okay, but just real quick, the aftertaste was like a cough medicine-y aftertaste.
Oh, yeah? Okay. That's we're there. There's a smoky quality to this as well.
Okay.
Little bit of like smoked, you know, like after you've been sitting around.
I'm still getting the chloroseptic from earlier.
After you've been sitting around a fire all night and the firewood smoke is like in your clothes.
Right.
There's a little bit of smoke there.
Okay.
It's petrichor is the smell of the earth after it rains. The smell of wet cement. The smell of, like, you know, when you go outside, you can smell the, after the, like if you walk through the woods and there's a bunch of wet rocks.
Okay.
You can smell
earthy. How are you tapping it? So here's the thing. People are watching this. They're trying to learn how to get these tasting notes. Maybe they're going and buying some of this and trying it. So how do you tap into that? That's the question.
Practice, man. I drink a lot. You just got
to know what I'm tasting. Like I say, I know what I'm tasting. I'm getting the taste and the smells. But I don't know where to
log them.
Yes, and I don't know how to get into the memories and pull out what it is, because it's a very distinct flavor. It's a very distinct taste. It's a very distinct smell. But for somebody like me, I'm just like, what is that?
Tastes funny.
Right? Yeah, it's not bad.
So there's here's the thing. You don't always have to tap into memories. I can give them to you, right? Like if I say chloroseptic, and you're like, yeah. That is what I taste, chloroseptic. You're going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
And the next time you taste it, you're going to think chloroseptic.
Right.
So bourbon, one of the most common tasting notes is brown sugar. You get brown sugar in bourbon? Oh, big, big surprise. You know, like, what's Tabasco? Spicy? Like, yeah, it's okay to get if someone gives you the tasting note and you can see what they're saying.
Yeah.
If logging it that way,
I would be like, nah, I'm not getting that. I would honestly tell you that.
So this,
it's very distinct.
This is very distinct, and it's not for everybody.
Like old, or I don't know, man. What am I tasting?
It's to me, it reminds me of outdoors, like earth. Mm-hmm. It's very earthy. Literally tastes like dirt. This is very wet dirt to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. It sounds like such a disgusting descriptor, but it's like, no, it's delicious.
I don't get that.
And it's crazy expensive, too. It's like $110 a bottle.
Is it really?
Yeah.
To drink wet dirt.
To drink wet dirt.
What is
I go outside and lick the ground for free.
I got a whole backyard. I'll let you come over for $5. You can lick 30 minutes. You can lick the backyard. I'm going to make a killing off this. I didn't get that. So you like this?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
It's really interesting. You have to be in the mood for it. I mean, there are nights where if I am going to drink mezcal or sotol at home, that'll be all I drink that night. Like, it's so good. And I'll lean over and try to make sweet marital love to my wife, and she can smell me coming from a mile away. Because
you smell like an outdoor.
Your breath smells like you've been licking Barry's yard for the past 30 minutes. It's just, it's one of those things, you know?
Yeah, see, I'm not getting that.
And it's really not for everybody. But here's the thing, is those things, like when I first got into Scotch.
So every other one of those was very distinct. As soon as you said it was like, yes, this one is.
You don't get dirt. No, you just get old something.
Yeah.
Like old leather.
I mean, a little bit of the chloroseptic or the medicine-y taste.
Okay.
But just
I get that as well. To me, I think smoked.
Yeah, old or something like that. I don't know. That's interesting, man.
It's okay. It's okay. Keep going. Rinse it out. We got more for you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah. All right. So this baby here. This is very exciting, actually. Okay. So in rum production, in the old world, Jamaica, what they would do is they would build dunder pits.
Which are?
And I've talked about this quite a bit, but essentially a dunder pit is they dig a hole in the ground, they dump the molasses in, and they let it sit there for a couple of weeks. Now, in controlled fermentation environments, like at a distillery, we made it ferment for 2 or 3 days, 3 or 4 days. But in these dunder pits, they are literal just pulling in wild yeast from the air, dead animals, mosquitoes, Wait, what? It's just an open pool of black tar molasses. And so what happens is it ferments by pulling the yeast from the air. Awful. I know it does. I know it does. But the thing to remember is that...
Are we about to drink dead mosquito blood?
Yeah, yeah. Dead mosquito blood.
I'm getting notes of...
What is West the, Nile virus?
What's the other one that they
SARS? Show? What's it? What's no, the one that you get?
It's a Zika. Malaria.
Yeah. Malaria.
I'm getting I'm getting notes of malaria and Zika.
The hilarious. My nose runs when I drink.
Does it really? Wait. No, don't skip over that.
My nose runs when I drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
High proof alcohol, I think, kind of will flush your sinuses out.
I'm not having any of that.
No? Have you ever says
dry
the guy.
Dry as a bone. I have a deviated septum, so I can't breathe out of one.
All those street fights from back in the day. You know, I used to hold it down. So, what happens? The thing to remember is that distillation is purification. So, any way that you create a fermented spirit, like for instance, the way that we as humans used to originally get drunk, is we didn't have refrigeration, so our food would just slowly start to rot, and we would keep eating it. And it would get us a little like old fruits, old whatever. Yeah. They would just start getting mushy and then they start to ferment and a little small dose of alcohol there.
Okay.
And then we learned to distill. Distillation is purification. And what you have is this beauty here. This company, Stolen Overproof, they are ahead of their time. They released this in 2015 when nobody was drinking this stuff. And they released it for like $15 a bottle. For a small half bottle. And it's so GD good. I'm sorry. That was rude. It's so goddamn good. that we had to...
Do it. Do it.
We had them transfer all of the stock all over the state to Houston for our group.
Really?
And so you can find this on the shelf in Houston. And it's fantastic. But it's a funky Jamaican rum.
Oh, no.
You like how I serve myself first, like a gentleman?
It's okay.
All right.
Dead mosquitoes.
You smell it? It smells like funky glue. Ooh. It's got kind of a glue note.
Yeah.
Like old Elmer's after you rubbed it on your hand and peeled it off. Jack's like, this is why I've never drunk.
You used to do that a lot, too?
No.
I did that all the time. Yes, I did all the time. So, yeah, this smells like the glue you put down wood floors with.
Yeah, very chemical, industrial. Or
not glue, but like it's not caulk either. It's like a liquid nails.
Yeah, very industrial smelling. Yeah. This is a super funky Jamaican rum.
It's good for a while, and then I don't know. Like, it'll burn your nose after a second. It doesn't at first.
Great for cocktails. Great for straight drinking. This is genuinely a beautiful example of fantastic Jamaican rum. But it's funky. It tastes almost like industrial lubricant, right? Like, there's something to it that feels like mechanical. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense what you're saying, but I don't taste that. It was almost... wheat for a half a second.
Yeah, I get a little sweetness. Keep going, bro. Figure yourself out. Stella got her groove back. I feel like this is like an awakening. Like you realized what an orgasm was. My wife used to work with this lady at Starbucks. I probably shouldn't tell the story. I'm going to tell it anyways.
Please tell the story.
So before my wife...
No name's Carol.
No, her name was Jessica. Before my wife... quit Starbucks. Her manager. This was years and years ago. We've been together since we were like right I after taste high
cherry.
School. Oh, there's definitely a cherry,
like cherry candy, like a heart,
like a fake cherry.
Yeah,
not like Luxardo cherries, like a cherry flavoring.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect example.
That's what I'm tasting.
And you did it all on your own, buddy.
That's all I'm getting.
It's like that's it. It's cherry.
Smells
cherry.
Like glue. Tastes like cherries.
You're there,
expert. Okay, tell a story about Jessica. I want to hear.
No. Her name actually wasn't Jessica. It was like Jennifer, I think. Okay. So she was like in her mid-40s, and her husband, they got a divorce or whatever. They've been together for 20 years, and she had her first orgasm after and told my wife about it. And my wife was like, I got something to tell you. Like, she was like, your whole life? Like, half your life? 45? Could you
imagine?
45, you had your first orgasm. So
did she think she was having them before?
I think that's what it's like. Oh, it's like the tasting notes. Like, oh, yeah, what am I? Yeah, I'm tasting that.
And then when you
finally taste it, you're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. That was no.
That is not what I thought it was.
This is.
Yeah, it's like a sneeze. it's I couldn't believe it. My wife was like, I felt so like tragically like happy for her that she like got a
great humble brag.
What?
That you're like, yeah, my wife.
In 15 years, she's had at least one. Okay,
I'm right, not, you picked up on that too.
I wasn't.
This is a great humble brag. No. My wife was like, never. It's like 5 times, 7, 9 times a week over
that's,
here.
That's not at all. And she's watching this like, I wish.
maybe it was just her making up somebody she worked with
to kind of get like to drop a hint to me.
Like maybe you should try harder.
She had her first. That would be sad if we're together at 45 and I have not had one yet. Maybe we should start working on that.
Just saying, it could be.
Tastes like dirt.
Maybe you should. Okay, no, I'm not gonna say it.
I don't need any more bad reviews.
Maybe if you tasted her backyard. Oh my god. We'll leave that in. Don't cut that.
No, I will say. Speaking of bad reviews, we did an episode with the Bourbon Junkies, and if that guy is still watching, please
go away.
No.
Oh,
I'd like.
I'm not good with.
When someone leaves you bad reviews, you can't respond to them.
Why?
What I mean is,
I do it all the time.
No. On like iTunes podcasts.
Oh,
they leave a review. You can't ask more questions.
Right.
So I got a bad review.
I was gonna say, don't get in the comments because I will respond on this episode too, and it's not my show. I will hate comment you back. Okay.
I would be all on board to watch that shit show 100%. Unravel.
I do it on my own show. Are you kidding me? If you tweet me something disgusting or mean. Oh, I hope you're not busy because it's going to be a while. I'm 100%. And people are always like, Barry, you can't respond to, you know, consumers and all. No, I do. 1,000%. I will argue with you. I have no life. I will do this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm trying to find it now. So this guy left a review and I just didn't understand what he referenced. So I'm hoping that if he still watches this show, probably out of spite now, for him to send me an email.
Grudge watching.
Yeah. Well, that happens. I'm friends with Brendan Schaub. So the guy says, your latest episode with the podcast and Bourbon Junkies revealed your thoughts on lawlessness. I guess all is okay in the world as long as you don't get caught. Glad to know your stance. Now you know mine. Unsubscribe today. And a 1-star rating. So... I don't need everyone to like me, but I do get bothered when I think someone might misunderstand me. So, if you left that review and you're still watching the show, or if you know the person who left this review, I genuinely like to understand what he's referring to and I can respond to because I feel like I missed something. So
mosey on over to YouTube.
Go to YouTube or
find
go to
mywhiskeyneat.com
as well. You can submit an email.
We want those all public. No.
We want a public
an email like a coward. You're already a coward once. Don't be a coward twice.
You're not helping my case. I'm trying to reason this guy. You're already a coward once. Don't be a coward and a pussy.
Screw this guy. Yeah. It was like you said, right? It was like a sneeze and a. Yeah, you thought you were a coward. You thought you were orgasming. Get over there in the comments and be a real coward.
Jesus Christ.
Get a real comment orgasm.
I swear to
Actually,
God.
Actually, tweet us both. At
What is my tweet? My Whiskey
at,
Neat?
At My Whiskey Neat, at Barry is funny. Talk your cowardness on Twitter and we'll both respond.
Complete shit show of an episode. We're doing two of these too.
Coward of the county.
So, all right. Why don't we...
Can we play Kenny Rogers on the outro for this guy?
Can you just keep roasting the guy? I don't know what he looks like, but he's probably the ex-husband of that barista. I mean,
he's got huge
barista.
Fingers from all the Twitter fights he gets in. God. Comment.
All right. Let's do this. We've got part two coming up. Let's get on over. It's going to be a little bit more harder.
Okay.
But
Super proud.
I think I'm proud of you.
I'm just like over the moon.
It's just about learning it. I like your shoes, by the way. I keep looking at them.
Thank you. I really didn't think this was going to work. I really was like, I taste sadness. I just, you know.
No. It tastes like a dolphin's fin.
I have no idea. But no, it's good. It's working.
What's going to be interesting for you is once you do become someone who is quick at identifying, and then what you're going to do is you're going to find things that you like because you have that note, right? Like, this does taste like bubblegum, or I love Chloraseptic. So if that's all you drink, that becomes your preferred drink, then when you do things like shoot Jameson.
All right.
How dare you, sir? Or other things, you may realize, oh, that's boring.
I am like the most basic white girl. On my show, I shoot Jameson and Fireball.
I love Fireball.
Like, holy shit. All I need to do is just chase it with a White Claw.
Christmas.
And ask for the manager. Jesus.
Christmas Day, the whole family, we did Fireball and what's it called? Rum Chata?
We did too. We made Cinnamon Toast Crunch shots, is what they're called.
Those are amazing. And it's okay to like that.
I felt like less of a man when I drink something sweet. I feel like if it doesn't burn. You know, if
make you no, cry. There's no sadness tied to it.
Yeah, like anything sweet, I'm like, ah, that makes me feel like less of a man.
All right, well, let's do this. We've got another episode coming up. We're gonna get to the harder to find stuff.
Bye, hater.
I really am trying.
I hope he. Yeah. Bye, one star unfollower loser.
Okay, I gave one star rating to your review. And for those listening, go leave me a new review.
I gave one star to your mom. All right, see, that's too far.
I'm telling
you. Leaving that in, though.
My wife's ex manager.
So mad.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah,
I'm okay
too.
With that.
Me too.
All right, guys. We'll see you in a few minutes or next week. And Barry, thanks for coming back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Let's become experts, man. I'm in.
I'm in on this.
All right, buddy.
I'm telling you.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.